Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, we did move in Canberra this week a little closer to getting a federal modern slavery bill for this country. The Modern Slavery Bill 2018 has been referred to the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Legislation Committee. And what happens is that committee has an inquiry on the bill. They ask for people's opinions and then they make recommendations, and that sort of informs the debate that takes place. It'll come back in about August this year in the next session of the Parliament. As you know, we've spoken before on Open House about the scourge of human trafficking and other forms of modern slavery. It would be a very welcome move indeed if this legislation comes into law. The Australian Law Council is also pretty pleased about the progress, and it commends some of the provisions of the planned new law. It has some concerns, though, which undoubtedly will be addressed to the Legislative Committee. The President of the Law Council of Australia is Murray Bales.
I want to say from the outset that the Law Council of Australia welcomes the introduction of the bill because it's the first modern slavery bill that has been introduced into to our federal parliament. That said, there are some elements about the bill that we would like to see improved. So insofar as that is concerned, we agree with that remark.
Well, let's go into what it does do, and then we can talk about how far it might go. So initially it applies to businesses of a certain turnover, and they've got to report whether their supply chain includes modern slavery elements. Now, what are those elements?
Modern slavery is the concept of exploited labour and people working in slavery or slave-like conditions. So it particularly occurs when there are long supply chains, and those supply chains extend into countries where the rule of law or legal protections may be weak. And what the corporations with that sort of turnover now need to do is to ensure and report the fact that they've got a clean bill of health when it comes to obtaining services and goods.
Now, a lot of the debate has been around the turnover, which is the threshold is $100 million. That's a pretty large corporation.
It is, and the Law Council has made the point that we would prefer a lower threshold.
Yeah.
Commensurate with some other jurisdictions, $60 million is what we would recommend. But those amendments can be made to the bill, and if the bill becomes law, those things can be added over time.
I buy my T-shirts and from a retail chain that says they're made in Bangladesh or wherever it may say. In fact, it literally does say Bangladesh. I mean, I must say I worry. As a consumer, I'm worried about that. I don't know how to access information about that at the moment, although I suppose if I went looking, I might find it. But would this put my heart at rest that I wasn't, by my purchasing power, exploiting someone?
Well, that's precisely the intent behind the legislation, even though it doesn't involve sanctions. Twiggy Forrest from Fortescue Metals, who's got an interest in Walk Free Foundation, an anti-slavery organisation, put it like this: the fingerprints of slavery are in every Australian home, which is a very disturbing thought, and it is precisely the type of scenario that you're describing. We want cheaper goods and services, but we don't necessarily think about the supply chain that's providing them to us.
Here's the problem. If an organisation has slavery, modern slavery, within its supply chain, and I think this was the point the opposition was making during the week, if they're that unethical that they don't check, are they going to be ethical enough to report?
Well, they're obliged to. And the aspect of there being no substantial penalty for non-compliance is something about which we would recommend Parliament have a think. However, the market also is going to play a role here, because people are going to be interested in where their goods and services are coming from, and if they're tainted by this suggestion, then they may be less likely to buy. The other point to be made is this. Whilst supply chains are very important, and whilst we recognise that in developing countries that slavery or slavery-like conditions apply, we can't overlook the fact that in Australia itself it happens, particularly in the area of the trafficking of women from Asia for sexual exploitation in the sex industry, but in other areas as well, like manual labourers in agriculture, in construction, and so forth. So this is also aimed at Australian corporations who are potentially exploiting Australian labour.
Now, interestingly, there was a bill in the New South Wales Parliament. In fact, it's now become an act, or at least it's been through both houses. I don't know whether it's been proclaimed, but just in the last couple of weeks. Would that not be better as a model piece of legislation in the federal jurisdiction?
Well, look, there's rather than remarking on that expressly, these are the things, in short, that the Law Council would like to see in this bill. Hmm. The first is an anti-slavery commissioner. It would be a smart idea and probably allow the regulatory regime to run better and with more teeth if there was a commissioner. Hmm. We've talked about the threshold issue, and we think the threshold should be lower than $100 million in turnover. And we've talked about penalties and the absence of them, but also it's a question of how we deal with the victims of this type of conduct. And so a national redress scheme would assist victims of exploitation and slavery-like conditions in Australia to recover from what they may have been through.
And many of those aspects are in the New South Wales Bill, so I think there's every opportunity for us now as a community to demand that of our federal parliament. Now, the government's introducing the bill, but as we know, the Senate is an interesting place, and you must be therefore more than passingly hopeful that some of your amendments might get up.
Look, there's a number of bills that have been dealt with by the Parliament this year where they started off in a particular form and ended up in something that's entirely different. So I would agree with you. The government in 2014 rolled out the National Action Plan to combat human trafficking and slavery. And what was discussed in that approach was a whole-of-community approach. So I think you are entirely right to say that as a community we need to be concerned. Some people who are vulnerable, perhaps newly arrived in Australia, won't necessarily have the confidence or ability to complain about these sort of conditions, and the community in main, needs to be concerned.
Well, it's fantastic the Law Council is taking this on as well, and we thank you for your efforts. Maurie Bales, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Maurie is the President of the Law Council of Australia. The Modern Slavery Bill into the Federal Parliament, and a Slavery Commissioner to be established. If the bill gets up in the federal jurisdiction, there is one to be established in New South Wales, because the Christian Democratic Party's Modern Slavery Bill did get through the Parliament by winter, and therefore, as soon as it's proclaimed, and we hope they don't delay proclaiming it, then they'll get to work on the machinery of putting that in place. And that's pretty much what that does, puts a Slavery Commissioner in place in that state. There may well be the desirability, though, I think, for complementary legislation in each jurisdiction, because one of the things that happens in other areas of law, industrial relations law or anti-discrimination law, many of these sorts of areas, is you get people jurisdiction shopping. Anyway, that's a nuance. Probably doesn't matter much this time of a Sunday night. What does matter is this. If you go down to your local supermarket or clothing retailer or whatever tomorrow and you want to buy a T-shirt and it says made in Bangladesh or made in Pakistan or it says made in Taiwan, China, wherever, you know, the frontiers of these manufacturing nations kind of shifts. When I was growing up, it was China. And I can actually remember rather well when I was a child, which is some time ago now, thankfully. But the attitude was don't buy anything from so-called Red China. This was in the days when the Little Red School Book was banned. It was a book of communist doctrine coming out of China. And having a copy of that was akin to being a member of the Communist Party that could see you locked up. Those were very different days. We're deep in the Cold War territory here. But imagine that, like from today to the economic powerhouse that China is. And to think of the amount of industry now that goes to China for their manufacturing options because it's cheaper. But you want to make sure, and I think in the case of China, we have a slightly better opportunity to say, well, the conditions are not going to be akin to modern slavery than they might be in some other emerging manufacturing nations, places like Bangladesh, which I just mentioned. So here's the question. How do you know? I'm interested in what you do. There's one thing you can do. You can go to walkfreefoundation.org. And maybe .org/resources, and you'll find a lot of useful information there about some supply chain information. But when we went looking as an open house team late in the week into some easy answers into how user's guide to buying a T-shirt, it's not as easy to find as you might hope. So I'd be interested in knowing what you do, and do you make those decisions? Do you look at where the where the manufacturer has sourced their materials, and do you make decisions based on that? I know the people who listen to this program are very concerned about these ethical issues about using our money well.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.